Well, hello, everybody. This afternoon, I'd like to take us on a area of thoughtful idea that we should really be thinking about with regard to the Passover coming up. You know, there are a lot of people in this world, they wonder, if there is a person called God, why doesn't that God reveal himself to us? Why doesn't he do more to make himself known? And the Bible makes it very clear to us from a biblical point of view, and of course we believe in the Word of God, that it plays a very important part in answering these questions that people have. That in Isaiah 45 and verse 15, it says that God is hiding himself. He's invisible to the world. And there's a reason he's invisible, because they don't choose to listen when God speaks. And that's why we're going to look at the title of the sermon today. And the title is, When God Speaks, How Well Do You Listen? When God speaks, how well do you listen? Most people look at the Bible as if it's some kind of antiquated book and really doesn't apply. You know, in the early part of the 20th century, there was a tremendous resurgent, like a revival among religious churches. People were really on fire for the studying of the Word of God, and tent revivals were going on in the nation. But as the 20th century wore on, then things began to change. And we now are in what is called the post-Christian era. And people really are not all that interested, although they'll still be posing questions such as, again, if there is a God, always there, if there is a God, how come he doesn't reveal himself? Well, he really does. If you join me in Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll see God's answer to that question and why many people have problems finding God. Jeremiah 29, and beginning in verse 12. He's talking in context to the people who have come back from 70 years and their captivity back to the land. And so the context gives you Judah, Jerusalem, and yet there is something there that we can also apply to ourselves that, again, remember Romans 15:4, everything is written for our learning, and so that we might have comfort and understanding from the Scriptures. Well, in the Scriptures, we find the following. In verse 12, it says, Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, notice, when you shall have searched for me with all your heart. All your heart. That is very important. God wants us to seek him with all our heart. And that's part of the problem today. People do not really seek God with their whole heart. For God to be seen, he has to be seen in the way that he is revealed in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. That's why the Bible is not just some antiquated book, but a book that comes alive with tremendous wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from the Creator to each and every one of us. Without the Word of God, which, again, is the foundation of all knowledge, we wouldn't have anything to really understand the creation and life or anything else that we are experiencing as human beings. But God has spoken. And when he speaks in various ways. And if we are attuned to the way it is revealed in the Scriptures, we will hear when God speaks, even if he speaks in a very small, still voice. Because he did on one occasion do that to one of his prophets. So I'd like to take you now into some areas. And this is some basic review that we don't want to take for granted. Something that we need to realize is very important. And again, especially in light of Revelation 2 and verse 3, where it talks about Christ talking to those churches in Asia Minor at the time. And constantly it ends with this word, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. That's why I ask, when God speaks, how well do you listen? How well do we listen to when God is speaking from his vantage point? The Word of God plays a very important part for all of us. And so let's go to the Word of God to begin with, because that is the place you have to go. God speaks loudly in the pages of Holy Scripture because it's His book. It's His book revealing things to us that we could never learn or understand about ourselves or about creation and everything around us, this mystery we call life. God designed His work in such a way to produce something in each and every one of us called faith. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. If we don't put our trust and our confidence in God and what He says, because we know He cannot lie, Titus 1:2, He tells the truth, and we know that we also in the gospel accounts, it reminds us that the Scripture cannot be broken. If you can break the Bible and the Bible record as it is revealed, well then, you have thwarted the plan of God. Nobody can thwart the plan of God. God is the one who has designed this. He is the one who has purposed it for a very special reason because, as Hebrews says, Christ came for what specific purpose? To bring many sons as well as daughters unto glory. God wants us in His kingdom in a big way. And He proved His love for us by giving us the Son of God as we're going to honor Him at Passover time coming up very shortly. It is designed, the Word of God, to produce faith in us, faith that comes from God's Spirit, and we look to God for guidance and help where we trust Him and have conviction of heart. Notice Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Here Paul, the apostle, as one born out of due season, reminds us of something very important concerning the Word of God. In chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then by faith comes by hearing. So hearing plays a very important part in receiving this phenomena that God provides, faith, and hearing by what unit, what article is needed in order to develop faith? The Word of God. Without the Bible, you and I could never develop the faith that is required for salvation. God provides this for us through His Word, and the Apostle Paul understood that. And that's why, again, Hebrews 11:6, as I quoted, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is a key ingredient. Even when Jesus comes, as it says, I believe, in the book of Luke, it references in the gospel account that when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? People's faith and trust and confidence is going to get shaken and rattled to such a degree that people are going to cave in the end time. This is something you and I have to guard against. One of the reasons it says in the end time that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many. Recently I was told that, and I haven't researched it myself, but it'd be worth checking into some of the alternate translations. Doesn't say just many, that the sense of that Greek word means the majority. Not just many, but the majority of people. Wow. That puts it in quite a different light. People are going to give up. Because there's so much going on that they cannot deal with it anymore. Well, God speaks loudly through His Word because He's given us certain key things to help us. One of the things we know, one of the seven proofs that God exists, is the fact of fulfilled prophecy. God's the God of prophecy. You and I are living out each and every day prophecies of the Word of God. We look right now and see the chaos going on in Europe, and we know for sure that is the breakup of the European Union as we see it now. What is going to come after that? Well, according to the Bible, we're told to keep our eyes open and be listening. And what we'll be looking for is a new confederation of 10 nations that will group together and be led by a very dynamic individual called the Beast. For better name, God just gives us a point of reference to look at. And we know there's going to be a false prophet involved, somebody who's suddenly going to start causing miracles to happen. And that's going to change the world to a great degree. A lot of people then are going to fall prey for that great deception when it is launched in this world. We're told to be careful that we don't get embroiled in that, that we come out of this world, that we stay attuned. And remember, you have to back away in order to get a perspective. You can't get so involved in the world that you get covered up by the world. You've got to see it for what it is, back away from it, so that you get a perspective from God's point of view. That's what's so critical. So fulfilled prophecy is designed to produce faith in God. And people today don't want to put their faith in God. They'd rather put their faith in gold and silver or in their own wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Well, we are told in the book of Isaiah, that this prophet really comes up with some powerful instruction. Let's go to the book of Isaiah and chapter 42 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 42, and we'll look at verse 8 and 9. 42, book of Isaiah, verses 8 and 9. Here, God is speaking to the prophet, and this is the way it has come to us. He says, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. The L-O-R-D is in bold letters, and that is my name. He says, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's why God hates idolatry so much in all its many manifestations and forms. You and I are told that God wants to be the focal point of our attention. He wants us to focus on Him, not some things made by man's hands and calling it a God and bowing down to it. We are to acknowledge this great sovereign Lord, and He says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, God is able to do that because it is God who is in charge of this great plan of salvation that He's working out with humankind. You and I are blessed to be the first of the assembly line of human beings who are being trained for a part in the glorious kingdom of God, which is coming to this earth. It will be the last great world-ruling empire that will never cease to exist. All the others, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome with its 10 resurrections, it's all going to go by the wayside. But the kingdom of God will endure forever. And so those being trained for it in an act of service and love, not only to God in service and obedience to His will, but to help our fellow human beings. And folks, that should just melt your heart, because there are aunts and uncles, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, and friends that are going to need a lot of instruction when it comes their time. And who's going to teach them? Well, that's part of why we're learning how to become kings and priests at this time, to follow God's laws and His commands. Chapter 44 of Isaiah. Move along in the prophecy. Chapter 44. And what do we have here? In chapter 44, we look at verses 6 through 8, and we have as follows. He begins by saying, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. And that's who God was. He revealed Himself as the King, the ruler of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. He says, I am the first and I am the last, the Alpha and Omega, and besides me, a very important revelation from the Word of God. There is no other God. Besides me, there is no God. So there's only one true God. And people who say, well, there are different kinds of gods, this God, that God, the Bible says no. There is only one true God. And notice what he goes on. He says, and who, as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set in order. He says, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. So God is saying in prophetic words that He is the one who has outlined certain events, and He's going to bring it to pass, because that is one of the proofs that He exists. Isaiah 45 now. Let's move along again. In Isaiah chapter 45, and beginning in verse 18. And notice the powerful revelation and answer. Now, people don't want to believe this, but if they don't believe it, what is the alternate to this marvelous explanation to everything we see in life? For thus says the Lord, this is the one who's talking, the prophet Isaiah said, that created the heavens. Oh, so he's responsible for that. God himself that formed the earth and made it, and he established it, and he created it not in vain. Tohu bohu with Genesis 1, where people think that God created it in that kind of condition, and no, he didn't. It became the result of a rebellion that we know is called the Luciferian Rebellion in Scripture. But God originally created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And right now we've got 7.5 billion people in our lifetime inhabiting this earth. How many people prior to that? We have no idea. And how many others are going to come in the future? We have no idea. But there's going to be a lot of them, because God wants to literally plant his sons and daughters throughout the heavens, and he's put a lot of marvelous things out there that are part of our spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus. And the book of Hebrews addresses that very thing. And notice in verse 19, he says, I have not spoken in secret. You mean God speaks and he speaks out? Yeah. He said, I didn't do it in secret. He said, in a dark place on the earth, I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, and I declare things that are right. And then again, he gives us in Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Boy, aren't we glad that he is who he is. And he says, it goes on in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So there we have, again, the prophetic statement from God himself that if you want to understand things that are coming in the future, go back and see what's happened in the past. Study history. Study the biblical history. It's very important because there is nothing new under the sun, according to Solomon. What has been is what will be. It's just the same old, with a new cast of players. New human beings coming in from one generation to the other. Why do we have statements like history repeats itself? Simply because people don't listen to the voice of past history. And we're talking about the most important voice of all, the voice of God. And so when God speaks, we're supposed to take very special note of that. Then, of course, we have eyewitness testimony that offers evidence and belief in Jesus. We find that in the book of John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And what is recorded here for our learning is this. Beginning in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. In other words, they saw the beginner of creation. They saw the word who became flesh, as John 1:1 talks about. And what happens? It says, we interfaced with him. Just like we as human beings interface with one another. We talk. They talked with us. So they were eyewitnesses to the Son of God in the flesh. And that becomes a very powerful statement in itself. For the life was made manifest, and we have seen it. We bear witness and show you the essence of eternal life. In other words, eternal life comes to mankind through Jesus Christ. And it says, which was with the Father and was manifest with us. And then he goes on to say how that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, the latter part of verse 3. And in verse 4, and these things we write unto you that your joy may be full, that you should absolutely be happy and joyful in heart to know that this is what God has ordained and purposed. God's word has spread to every nation in the world. You can go in different languages and you can find the word of God. So God has been busy using human beings to accomplish His will, His purpose. And then we have, of course, historical documentation, authenticity, showing that the Bible is not some antiquated book. It is the book, the book you and I are commanded to take heed and listen to. And if you read the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible called the Apocalypse, what does it say? There is a blessing from God that is given to you if you read that book and your course asking God to help you understand it and make known to you His words. And of course, if we're seeking Him with our whole heart, not half-hearted, but our whole heart, and it's important to us, then God is going to answer that call. So how well do we listen? Well, David was one who listened very carefully to God. And then he had his problems and had to learn some very hard lessons and came back to God. And Psalm 51, of course, talks about that. So again, all this is written to do what? John chapter 20. Let's go back to John chapter 20. And beginning in verse 30 and 31. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you, myself, and others might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe you might have life through His name." It's the only name given under heaven, the book of Acts says, whereby we can be saved. We can't save ourselves. There's nobody on the face of the earth, another human being, that can save us from what every human being experiences in the process of time, and that is time runs out. But God has a way of conquering that, conquering death, that last enemy that 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. He's going to bring us up in a resurrection. And as Christ was raised from the dead, those that believe and understand and accept God's answer to life's circumstances, God will give us that same gift that He gave His Son when He restored Him back to life. And we have a wonderful high priest at the right hand of God because of that. So the very first thing that we want to keep in mind is that God speaks through His Word. That's why we reference and begin with His Word. It's a very important, but how many people today, they don't believe in this book? They say, what, you still keep this book, this thing? Well, you know, we're enlightened now. We don't need this. Truth of the matter is we need it more than ever before. The second major area that the Bible addresses when God speaks and asks this question, do you listen when God speaks, is the fact that God speaks loudly through His beautiful creation that He made. You and I are experiencing right now the beautiful time called springtime. And why we might be get aggravated sometimes because of the pollen and some of the difficulties, because our bodies are not as strong as they were in past generations and we're breaking down with allergies and all kinds of immune problems in our systems. What does God reveal about His creation? It was there as a reminder. Who made all this? When you see the beauty of trees, when you see the sky and the clouds, when you see the stars, and now Monday evening, I believe they're telling us that in certain parts of the sky, I'm not sure exactly, I want to say southern part of the sky, but there is apparently going to be a green comet showing up on the horizon. So if you get a chance to see that, take a look. And then there's going to be another baby comet right behind it. It's part of the same, but it kind of broke apart. And so they're talking about two comets. It's not every day you see a comet, but this one apparently with a green glow is going to be quite impressive for those who get to see it. So maybe if you don't get to see it, you'll see it. Science will record it and put it on TV and we can see it that way. But anyway, it's an interesting period of time. No, God's creation is very powerful and it's given to us again that we might know that there is a God and have that firmly convinced in our mind. Because today you're being beaten in the head constantly by saying, there is no God. And this all happened by accident. And that requires more faith to believe that than what we see all around us. Scientists are mystified by the very creation. As much as they study it, the more they think they know, the less they come to really understand about this creation. It is so vast in its scope, and yet you can go down into the microscopic, and it's a universe in itself. Everything is just breathtaking, and you have to ask yourself, how did that all happen by accident? The answer is it didn't. We're reading how it happened. Now notice how the Apostle Paul addresses this. And he addresses something very, very important here. Let's start in verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and neither should we be. We should be very strong and confident in it because it is the truth. The scripture cannot be broken. People who say it doesn't mean what it says, we don't listen to them. It means exactly what it says. We don't call God a liar. All human beings are liars. It is God who speaks the truth. And so he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Again, if we don't believe it, then we're robbed of that power. And it goes on and says, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God, all that he is, notice, is revealed. You see, it has to be revealed to you. You don't just suddenly understand about God and where he's coming from. He has to be revealed to you. And it goes on to say, from faith to faith. God puts his faith and confidence and places his faith before us. We accept and believe and receive the gift of faith through his Spirit, and we believe. And what does it say? From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And of course, Martin Luther said by faith alone, and that is not correct. The law of God plays a very important part in that faith and confidence that we have in Almighty God. And because of this, notice verse 18, for the wrath of God. Now, this is what gets God very upset. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now, that means those who practice ungodly behavior contrary to the laws and commands of God, they practice the wrong. They like doing the wrong. They don't want to do the right. Then the wrath of God is upon them, whether they believe it or not. It's there. And the word of God is very succinct in this. And it says, an unrighteousness of men, and especially it says, who hold the truth, or better understood, who hold back the truth, or another translation might say, suppress the truth. Now, folks, you and I are living in a time where truth is being suppressed. We're not being told the truth about a lot of things. And people are getting very, very upset because it is leaving them very disquieted. They don't know what to believe anymore. That's why the Bible plays such an important part as a foundational blessing. If our home is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, when the storms and the upheavals come, it says that structure will survive. If it's built on phony stuff, phony beliefs, phony understandings, and not the Word of God, it says it's like building a foundation on sand and it's going to collapse because people will not have answers when the chips start to begin to come into their final arrangement. No, God does not like suppression of the truth. And what do you see in totalitarian governments? Don't they suppress the truth? They don't want you speaking out. History is filled with that. That's the first thing they do. You open up your mouth. Look what even businesses do today. We call them whistleblowers. And they do what? They reveal that, hey, there's some hanky-panky going on here in, say, Wounded Warriors. Because we want to help the vets, don't we? Yes, we do. But what happens? Oh, we've got to have some real wing-ding parties here because, you know, this is, well, how does that help the vets? So one makes a comment, he reveals this, they have an investigative report, bingo, he's out. They fire you, they get rid of you. They don't want you to reveal. They suppress the truth. And God says when it comes to spiritual truth, he lays that at the feet of ministerial teachings when ministers get up and they tell their people contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God is what we base our life on, folks. And he says, and it's for that they may, it says, because when they knew, know, excuse me, that which may be known of God. So there's something there that can be known of God. What is it? The creation. Everything shouts at you. Creation shouts at you, and it says, am. Notice, it says, it reveals in them that God has shown it to them. What has he shown to mankind? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. This is why scientists like the former Albert Einstein recognize the importance of this very thing, that creation demands intelligent design. But if you go to school now and to college, and especially into high school now, young minds are being constantly attacked. If you go in there and say, I believe in intelligent design, you're going to get attacked. So you might as well, if any of you go to school and you have something of that nature, you better be prepared. There was a young man right in his congregation at one time. He was getting ready to go to college, and I warned him. I says, be ready. He came back when he came and graduated. He says, Pastor, he says, you were right. He says, they got all over me because I maintained that there was intelligent design. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And so when you have stuff like that going on, you better know what you believe and be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, because the propaganda war is just raging out there, trying to disavow God and even say that this marvelous creation that God says is a proof of him is what? Just an accident. Well, Albert Einstein didn't believe that. And then there were other, there's even a, I believe his name is Anthony Flew is his name. He was a prominent atheist, and he turned deist. He said, there's got to be something there. He says, it's just too much. He says, it can't just happen by accident. Well, taking that into consideration, we come now to the third point that I'd like to mention, and that is this. God speaks loudly in this world through the one that really matters most of all to each and every one of us, and that is the Son of God. Join me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer, who many people say is the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book to the Hebrews, it says, God, who at various or different times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, he says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus Christ is another very important ingredient that you and I. Why do we believe in him? Simply because his words mean something. His words are spirit and life. That's what the scriptures constantly remind us. And so God speaks to us through his Son. And you'll remember in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15 of the Old Testament, when Moses was speaking to the Israelites before they were getting ready to make their final move, and Moses knew it was his last and he would be departing and Joshua would be taking over. He mentioned something in Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. He says that the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like me, just like I am the prophet here that God has chosen to lead you out. There's another one coming among your people who's going to lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. He's a prophet. He also is the Son of God. The Lord will raise up this individual like unto me. And Jesus Christ was that prophet. And the New Testament confirms that. John chapter 1, the book of John. But we'll go there in just a moment. Hold your place a second. It says, this individual has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir unto all things, and also by whom he made the worlds. So Jesus is the Word. He's the one that did what? Created everything that we experience as human beings, living life. He is the great life giver on behalf of God the Father, who directed him in these areas. And we find that Jesus Christ then, being made so much better than the angels, that he has an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus is the high priest of the saints of God. He is the one to whom we look to as our Passover as we approach this time of the year. So the life, the teachings, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed history. And while people don't understand fully what is really the truth about salvation, they have various ideas about salvation. But to really understand the salvation, it is what Jesus told his own disciples. Unto you, when they asked him, why do you speak to everybody in parables? And yet you talk to us straight. You talk to us right face to face. Why do you do that? And Jesus answered that in the book, I believe it was Luke in the gospel account. And he says, because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto them it is not given, meaning at that time, it wasn't their time to receive the knowledge of the truth. He says, and so what? He says, that seeing they see not, that hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand from their heart. He says, lest they should be converted and I heal them. We who understand by the grace of God, the good grace of God, have been converted to understand things that the vast majority of mankind at this time cannot comprehend. That's why when Jesus came, he says, a man's foes shall be of his own household. Family members don't understand. They say, what's the matter with you? You're not a Jew. Why are you keeping a Jewish Sabbath? Well, it's not a Jewish Sabbath. It's the Lord's Sabbath. But you've got to study that to know it's the Lord's Sabbath. Why do you do the things you do? Well, because this is what I find in the Bible. But they don't find the same things in the Bible. They look at something and they see it totally different. I remember one time there was an individual who was discussing something with one of our ministers years ago, and the minister was teaching him about clean and unclean foods, so one of the laws of the scriptures. And, of course, the individual in the past said, well, that's Old Covenant and so forth. Well, he showed him the New Testament, where in Timothy he says everything is sanctified by the Word of God. And, of course, the Word of God they had at that time was the Old Testament. And it carries on into the new, under the new covenant. And what ended up happening? He says, well, you're going to have to show me. Now, this is interesting, because the minister opened up, showed him the scriptures. The man looks at it like this. Well, it may say that, but I don't believe it. Well, does that make it go away because you don't believe it? Will the sun not shine because you say, I don't believe in the sun? You see, people choose to believe what they want to believe. And if you believe the Word of God, you have to have substance for that belief. And God gives you that substance so that you can stand with confidence and make your statement. Because today, look at the things that are flying back and forth that you hear on the radio and the news. No substance to some of this stuff. People saying things about individuals and saying this individual doesn't pay taxes. Well, why doesn't he pay taxes? Well, because I said so. Well, that's not enough. Show me your proof. The proof is in the Word of God. But they don't want to listen to that. So Jesus gives us his life story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Why are they important for you and I to study? If anything is important to study, it's the Word of God, and to study our mentor, Jesus Christ. Because if we don't know where he's coming from, we don't know what he likes, what he doesn't like, then how can we be like him? Because you and I are supposed to be made to be conformed unto his glorious image. And I got news for you. We're not that way. We're a mix. And that's why every year God requires we have to come back at Passover time and take a look at ourselves. Because in some areas we've grown. We've become more like Jesus Christ. In other areas, we've dropped the ball. And you have to talk to God about that. That's not for you and I. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves because that's not wise. Scripture tells us that. But boy, compare yourself to Jesus Christ and you begin to see all kinds of holes in our makeup. And we have a lot to talk about to God. And when you do, I guarantee, if you can talk to God and pour your heart out to him and you don't shed tears, where are they? Because God's word brings you to tears. It's called tears of repentance. You've got to understand the price that was paid for our salvation. And Jesus Christ is that individual. He was sent, and then he sent his disciples out. And what were they to do in Matthew 28, the closing verses? They were to teach people to observe the things that Jesus taught. And he said, I will be with you to even to the end of the age. So we have a very important aspect that you don't underestimate the teaching of Jesus. So when Jesus speaks, and God speaks through him, remember what, after John the Baptist baptism, and Jesus came out of the water, then here comes the dove descending like out of heaven. And the voice out of heaven says what? This is my beloved son, hear you him. Exactly the same thing Moses said back there. When he comes on the scene, hear you him. So that's what we're here for. We're here to hear some very important things reviewed in our minds because we forget. We forget. It's a shame that 1 hour after we all depart from Sabbath services, it's amazing, they know this scientifically, that we will forget 90% of what we have heard today unless you've taken good notes and written things down, put it in your computer or whatever you've got, your little notepad. You may get bits and pieces of it, but you won't get it all. That's why God constantly reminds the Israelites of old. He said, after he had spoken to them, he says, warning, forget not the Lord your God. Because we do. We do. The prophets talk about it, how it says, can a bride, can she forget her ornaments when she's married? No, she's all decked out to be married. It says, but my people have forgotten me days without number. They go days without praying and really seeking my face. So these are important things to keep in mind, folks. Now, God speaks also in a last category that I'll touch on, and that's through his people. When God converts an individual, there's a change, a dramatic change that takes place. Romans 12, 1 talks about that. We become transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't think like we used to think. We now think in a different way, with humility, and we come to God for what purpose? To seek his face, to seek his guidance, to stay on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. And as God's people, one of the things that he has given us, not only the Great Commission that we're responsible for, but we have a duty to proclaim his praises. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. Yes, we are. Many are called, but few are chosen. And when you look at a world of 7.5 billion people, what an honor has been bestowed upon us to be called at this time into the plan of God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a unique people, not peculiar, odd, but unique in the sense that you're obedient to God's command, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And notice verse 10, which in times past were not a people, no, we were all over the place, and now we are a people, the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God has been very merciful to us. And for what purpose? That we might show forth his praises. That when people see how we conduct ourselves, and this becomes very important. Talking with another member recently who was visiting in another area, he says, you know, Pastor, he says, I've noticed something. He says, you go to certain places and you see certain things, even in the church of God, and you begin to realize the world has invaded the church. The world has invaded the church. When we should be invading the world as God's light in a darkened world, The darkened world is invading the church, and things that people would not have put up with just 2 decades ago think nothing of doing certain things or behavior and think it's all right. I'm not trying to be more specific than that. I think you know what I'm talking about. The world has changed, folks. It's changed mightily right in our very eyes. And God sees the good. He sees the evil. He knows who's trying to do what's right. He knows who's just playing the game of religion. And you and I have been called to be the real authentic. You know, there's someone running for president right now. They say that there's a problem because the person's not authentic. You and I are supposed to be authentic individuals, not putting up a phony sham up front, but from the heart, serving God, bringing praises to his name. And what did Jesus say? He said, "By this shall all individuals know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's how God speaks through us today to the world, through us. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because God told us to do it. Why did Jesus do what he did? Because God the Father told him to do it. Why is it important? Because if we don't do it, the wrath of God is upon us, and you and I don't want the wrath of God upon us. We want the gracious hand of God and his mercy, and we want our Passover to be one that blots out all our sins so that they are remembered no more, as God has promised. Well, folks, it's very important that we stop and remember how God has decreed certain things. Let's take one more look at Colossians chapter 1, book of Colossians. And let's notice verse 23. It says, "For if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, not in a state of mental and emotional upheaval or filled with anxieties and frustrations, but if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not removed away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister." We have heard this marvelous calling of God, and God has told us, look, I'm talking to you in a very specific way. People are not listening today. God wants mankind to repent. Everything that's going to happen in the book of Revelation is designed to bring people to repentance. But if they will not acknowledge repentance, then the wrath of God will be upon them. And you read there the terrible things that are going to happen, and you wonder, how in the world would people not want to repent? But it says, when God brings forth a certain plague, and they repented not of their sorceries and their evil behavior, there's something in human nature that when it crosses a certain limit, there's almost like an inner defiance. Rather than acknowledging God and saying, "I surrender," it's almost like they want to fight. And that is the spirit of Satan the devil in this world. He's fighting God at every turn. And he wants us not to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, who will raise us up in due time. But he wants us to fight and say, "Well, I don't know if I believe that." Well, we better find out what we believe, because the clock is ticking. God is speaking to us through his word very powerfully. He's speaking through his creation, because the hope of the resurrection is right now in springtime. You're seeing the beauty of spring, and I'm just amazed that you can still see beauty at the end of 6,000 years. And I ask myself, what must this have looked like in its pristine condition before all the terrible things that have happened over 6,000 years? It must have been absolutely breathtaking in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve had paradise. They had paradise, and still they sinned. And still, we sin. And remember, you can't hide and say the devil made me do it. We don't need the devil to do sinning. And the millennium proves it. And the white throne judgment proves it. The devil's not around. And people are still sinning. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, God's word is powerful. His creation is powerful. He speaks to us and he says, who made it all? Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then to listen to the voice of Jesus. Remember Mary, why she was commended when Jesus was talking and Martha was running around and saying, Lord, Lord, tell her, please, to come help me. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so troubled about this. You're worried about dishes and soup and salad and everything else under the sun. And here's your sister Mary, and what's she doing? She's sitting at my feet, and she has this as a record because she wants to hear my words, the words of life. And that's what you and I are here today for, to have this re-drilled into our brain. And so the Son of God plays a very important part. We've got the Word of God, we've got creation, the Son of God, and you, dear brethren, are the fruit of God's calling. How we let the light of God's Spirit shine in our life is going to make and tell a story to everyone we come in contact with. Are we the God-fearing people we claim to be? There's coming a time it's going to get very rocky down the road. And we're told in our patience to possess our soul. Let's take a look at one final scripture, Isaiah 55. The prophet Isaiah gives us this marvelous answer. Very fitting for this time of the year. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1. He says, ho to everyone that thirsts, come. God is the source of what we need. We thirsty? Come. He says, to the waters, because his Holy Spirit is likened unto water, flowing water. And even if you don't have any money, come and buy. He's using figurative language here. We'll give you wine. In other words, you're going to have access to good things if you do what? If you keep in mind the things God has outlined. He says, why are you wasting your time? Verse 2, where do you spend money for that which is not bread? Bread being, again, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, as we picture the days of unleavened bread. He says, and your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, not haphazardly, but diligently. Keep that in mind, that it is a constant effort to be diligent. And eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Using, in other words, you're going to be satisfied and fulfilled because the Word of God is going to make your life complete. Without the Word of God, your life is not complete. That's why you've got so many frustrated, aggravated people today. They can't keep their marriages happy. They don't know how to rear their children. They're going crazy. They don't know if they're male or female. They're getting transgenderized and everything else is undoing and coming apart at the seams. There is confusion in the house of Israel. And that's what God prophesied would happen. Because people would not listen when God speaks. He says, if my people, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people called by my name will humble themselves before thy mighty hand and call out to me, what does he say he will do? I will forgive their trespasses and I will remember their sins no more and I will heal their land. And when you see what's happening to our beautiful land of the United States of America right now, you know it needs a lot of healing, a lot of healing. Moving on, it goes on to say, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even as sure mercies of David. You saw how God was willing to forgive David, Psalm 51, because of the terrible things and crimes that he committed in his moment of failing when he got away from God. He got back quick, he understood, and God was merciful, and he says, what? I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David became king of Israel. You and I are called to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. That is a wonderful honor bestowed upon the first fruits. He says, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people and a leader and a commander to the people. We are to be a witness to the people. We are to be commanders in the future, where people will say, well, what do I do? And he'll say, a voice will come from behind and say, this is the way, walk you in it. People need instruction. You and I need instruction. We don't wake up and just suddenly know all things. We have to learn. And it is a learning process that takes time. And so he says in verse 6, seek you the Lord, the Eternal, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's just a prayer away. All you have to do is give him your whole heart. Don't be half-hearted, but give him your whole heart. Talk to him like we're talking to each other as human beings. He says, and do what? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. As the heavens are higher to the earth, and my ways are so much higher than thoughts are so much more than yours, we can't truly ever fully comprehend what a great and awesome God we have the honor and privilege to serve in our lifetime. May we rejoice as this Passover comes, because again, when God speaks, even in a soft, small voice, he's talking to us and he says, are you listening? He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches of God.